Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Marty Smith. We got a lot going on, in the world of politics, but let's start locally here in Los Angeles. Our mayor has given the State of the City address yesterday, and surprising to quite a few folks, he has offered free tuition for the first year of junior college to high school graduates or new resident students. Now, this isn't new. Under Governor Schwarzenegger, I was in junior college 2004 through 8, and the governor had signed at that point a waiver for tuition. And that waiver affected low income no matter what year you were. So while some may be surprised with what the mayor is offering, it actually is less than what has been offered before. And mind you, there is always a fight in the junior college and the CSU, as well as UC system, for classes because of budgets. They've cut back classes and enrollment in classes, so you could easily spend additional monies having to wait a semester or two in some cases to get into your class that you need to graduate. Now, mind you, statistically, Hispanics are at a dropout rate in high school through college at about 50%, and in some cases, a 20% graduation rate. And African Americans are not that far off with their statistics. The troubling aspect of this is the obvious. Why now do you want to offer this? Is this just a way to attract votes? Because one of the candidates, Bernie Sanders, offered free tuition, and everybody on the Democratic Party seemed to laugh at him. How are you going to pay for it? Well, how's the mayor going to pay for this? How's the mayor going to pay to fix these roads and streets in my neighborhood on my block in front of my house for over 20 years, maybe 30. The sidewalk and the road has been torn up. In fact, the city came and put in wheelchair access sidewalks on just about every block from 65th all the way up to 70th and stopped at 71st. Never came back to fix our roads. They never cut our trees. Okay? You can't even have the city dumpster come by and pick up your trash without it knocking out some branches or almost knocking the trash out of your can onto the ground because they haven't cut our trees. We haven't had our trees cut. Sidewalks are in disrepair. Every morning you will see at least one wheelchair-bound resident in the middle of the street because he doesn't have access to the rampage on the sidewalk. And in some cases, the sidewalk is so damaged that he would probably be better in terms of travel in the middle of the street. I don't know if he'd be safer because people zip up and down the street, but it was just something to think about as we offer all these promises. Now, I find it ironic, again, that as soon as Bernie Sanders gets up there talking about, well, we can do this for free and we can offer this and that, just like Obama did with Obamacare, everybody wants to lambast him on how you're going to pay for it and blah, blah, blah. I think those are all false arguments, and I think that a lot of political maneuvering is going on both sides, Democrat and Republican, to simply attract votes and distract you from real issues. Here's a real issue that affects every citizen in L.A. The amount of debris created by homelessness, the amount of issues with folks just camping out in front of your house all night, the amount of lack of security. We don't know what someone who has been recently homeless or issued a tent has in their tent. Downtown, the statistics are that crime has spiked 50% in the homeless population, and crime has erred on the side of quite a few folks have gotten deeper into the drug game because of the seclusion of the tents that were being offered, which are temporary solutions. Sort of like the hypodermic needle argument way back for heroin use. Well, let's give out the hypodermic needle not to encourage heroin use, but to slow down the rate of AIDS infection. Sounds good, but you're robbing Peter to pay Paul at the end of the day, and you're doing nothing more than making it easy and giving licensure to increase heroin use. Sounds good to offer people tents, but at the end of the day, you have so many tent cities set up around Los Angeles, and now that the court, as of I think yesterday, ruled once again that the city can no longer, without prior notice, raid or take down homeless encampments, and the city can no longer say how many gallons or pounds of personal material that a homeless person can carry. What gives them the right to say you can only have a couple of bushels of this and a couple of bushels of that? You're homeless. You're already out on the street. What gives them the right to say we can just raid you willy-nilly without regard for your civil liberties? When you can't do that, just run up into somebody's hotel room willy-nilly. You can't run up into somebody's house willy-nilly. So you see that there is some degree of, in my opinion, collapse around the issue. Now, I happened to listen to Adrian Alpert earlier in the month, or late last month, as she interviewed Board of Supervisors conundrum. Let's listen in a little to what she had to say and what they had to say.
And I'm
Okay, folks, I didn't like the audio on that feed, so I'm trying to switch it.
Something to think about.
And the reality of a lot of the rhetoric of the politicians don't crunch these numbers. Doesn't get to the nitty-gritty. It just talks of themes and themology. And while I do like Mayor Garcetti, I think he's a bit glib and overly happy about projecting a sense of accomplishment and positive direction when the statistics don't bear out. Either crime is up or crime is down. Either homelessness is up or it's down. Either you're solving these road issues, sidewalk issues, or you're not. See, I don't think that the public, and certainly me, can put much a risk into a thought process that suggests that, well, I think they're working on it or feels as if. Well, the feel-good aspect of everything is what has gotten us to this point of dissension. The feel-good aspect of getting up on a stage and just creating rhetoric and saying a speech is what, in my opinion, has allowed, like Donald Trump, to prosper. So we have a duality of themes. You say right, I say left. I say high, you say low. You say the cup is half full, I say it's half empty. I'm trying to understand it from the top down. You think it must be a bottom-up situation. And the duality has played out to the pocketbooks and the perspectives of so many Americans. But just focusing on Los Angeles residents, I think it's fine time that the average person just starts to make conclusions about what is really going on and begin to name it. If they're lying, name it. They're not necessarily speaking truthfully or speaking in circles. You have to name it. Also, as I focus on the national side of the same issue. Is there a nexus between the increased drug use, increased homelessness, increased crime, and increased Medicare and Obamacare? What is the connection between those aspects? Because you feel as if on a low-income level, you have Medi-Cal, which is free, or Medicare, which is free. You don't need to take care of yourself, and you can live any old kind of way. Something to think about. I find it interesting that across the nation, people are dealing with what I would call common sense basic issues that don't need to even rise to this level, whether or not men should go to the men's bathroom and go to the women's bathroom. If I had any children, it'd be obvious. I don't care how gay you are or who you think you is, but if you were born with a vagina and I had a little girl, then you can use that restroom. If you were born with a penis and you just happen to like to wear a skirt, homie, you cannot use that restroom while my little daughter's in there. Common sense, if you look at it at that level. But hold on, Marty Marr. Remember when you were a sophomore in college and you pledged your fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha, and you pledged at UC Berkeley, you had to spend the night on many occasions at UC Berkeley in the dorms, and what was the first lesson I learned? There were co-ed doors. Imagine. I'm 18, 19, trying to rush a fraternity. Nobody warned me. I go to use the bathroom, and I see, it's mixed races, all kind of folks, white, black, Asian, coming out, all kind of women coming out to shower. So the bathroom has stalls. They can add urinals too, and showers on the same compartment. And so you just use, and that's just how it was. That's just how it still is. And mind you, there were I don't recall any incidents of people not heeding other boundaries, date rape, none of that. It was not going down. In fact, it was pretty, there were no issues. I don't care what your sexual orientation was. So that's something to think about. And they had started that program, from what I was told, but that would have been about 85, maybe late 70s. So now, mind you, on campus, there were designated male, female restrooms. But sometimes when you go downtown San Francisco, you have public urinals and bathrooms that are not gender specific. You just have to wait your turn. Something to think about. So you know that the two can coexist, where you don't have to even trip on the sexuality because it's a non-issue. What if North Carolina had approached it as a non-issue and we're going to create a situation on campuses where anyone can use the bathroom and use the dorm? And actually it would tie into a higher level of you need to now begin the process of understanding your sexuality, as well as beginning and understanding the process toward behavior and looking over your own shoulder and becoming more of an adult and responsible. So it does create responsibility, something to think about. And there was no conflict. And then everybody had everybody's religion on the dorm floor, from Jewish to Muslim to Catholic, I'm sure, to Buddhist. But there was no issues with the state. There were no issues of people protesting that I'm over here in the stall doing number two, and I see females walking past me to get out of the stall. And you would just see this, that, you know, to get out of the shower. Or in towels, or in robes. No issues there. Or maybe the UC system, particularly UC Berkeley, had figured out all of the social dynamics and created a simple process with ease so that the average person wasn't even thinking about the conflictual nature, sexual orientation, or gender. A simpler way to solve an issue. Having said all that, is it common sense that men should use the men's restroom and women should use the women's restroom? What will happen when someone crosses the line and violence occurs or abuse occurs? And how will that affect a national, local, and state mood? Something to think about as you argue, protest. I'm going to take a quick break and get back to this and national issues right after this. Yeah. folks. Now, back to the national stage. I saw excerpts from last night's Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders debate. I think Bernie has every right to be as aggressive as he needs to be. I don't think that this Democratic election is a fait accompli, because after you win 8 out of the last 9 or 7 out of 8 straight races, you would have to really think that the momentum that Hillary had. And the other issue is the Trump pointing out, obviously, we said this months ago, if he's done nothing, he's raised the specter of the troubles on both sides in the political process. The fact that his two children did not register to vote is appalling to me to support their father. But even more appalling, why in the hell would you have to register in October of last year to vote in? That just doesn't make any sense. In April. Or actually, November. Because if you didn't register in October, you can't vote a year and a month later in November. You don't have to participate in primaries and caucuses, but most people do register to participate in the big baby. You want to vote for the president, you want to vote for the governor, or for the major issues. I think that's appalling. And I think if we don't get to a point where we have a national standard, election standard, this is going to consistently play out, whether it's Wisconsin with voter ID issues that affect a segment of the population adversely, or places still deep south that prohibit African Americans and minorities and poor and low income from getting out to the poll. Something needs to occur. Something needs to change. And now's about time. Also, the double standard of if Dr. Sanders says something, how's he going to pay for it? And making him look like he doesn't know what he's talking about. That man has been in Congress over 25 years. He has been a public official for decades. He knows exactly what's going on. Now, if we don't agree with his position, is one thing, but the process has been undermined by the political beast that it is. Donald Trump is right to point that part out. However, to that Donald Trump boy that cried wolf, nobody's going to really come to rescue, Donald, because you didn't do it right. You pissed everybody off with your rhetoric, and now you want us to come to your aid. And so part of what is wrong with the American electoral process is the options that each voter or electorate is given and the way in which those candidates appeal to us, which creates nothing but negatives, shock, and awe. All of the candidates for all of their issues. Something to think about. We are in the middle of a dip in temperature and a weather windstorm. We'll be back tomorrow with Real Talk, Real Game.
Oh, no.